We are in the third week of a series on servanthood and what that means. First week, we looked at the fact that serving other people or serving in the church or whatever it is that you're doing is not something that begins with a decision in your mind. It isn't something that you do just clearing your calendar when someone says, hey man, this thing's going on and could you help us? It doesn't start with you looking at your day timer. It doesn't start in your mind. Where does serving begin? It starts in your heart. That is where the heart to serve is born. And to know that for each and every one of us, we are called to be servants of God. And in that, it transfers into the way that we serve one another. Last week, we talked about the perfect servant, which of course is Jesus Christ. And to know that he came to be among us, and it says in the scripture where Jesus said to the disciples, I have not come to you as one to be served, but one to serve. God gave of himself to the people around him. Now, he could have said, no, you serve me. Could he not? Easily. He's a rabbi. He's a teacher. He's the Messiah that is to come. He is the Son of God. Who else could have said that but him? But he didn't. He said, I've come here to serve you. And he demonstrated that so many times, and we're going to be looking at some more of that in the weeks to come. Well, this morning, I want us to talk about something that each of us in here are probably pretty good at. So there you go. Don't you feel better already about yourself? You came in here, preacher said, you're good at this. Now, you may not be quite as happy when you find out what it is I'm talking about, but each of us have developed this skill over time in our lives. I'm still not going to tell you what it is. I'm going to wait a minute. I'm going to let you anticipate. You see, as in every part of our life as Christians, and we've talked about this now many times, your life is one of choices. You always have a choice. Everything that you do, you chose what you were going to eat this morning, chose what you were going to wear, chose if you were going to come to church or not, within the framework of what we understand choice to be. Opportunities present themselves all the time, though, in our lives. Opportunities for you to be able to do things for other people in different circumstances. There are always those things there that are available to you. It could be for an individual, and I've shared with you some stories of how there were opportunities for me to serve and to help somebody, and if you looked at it on the surface, it didn't turn out too well. I mean, yeah, I could have gotten taken for some money there. If you know, maybe I'd been a little bit smarter, I'd have gone, wait a minute. It's like the old thing, Katarina and I did this. This was a couple years ago, I think. I stopped at a Turkey Hill to get some gas, and I walked in, and I'm looking for something to drink, and she's getting something, and this lady walked up, and she said, excuse me, sir. She said, can you help me? We ran out of gas, and all I need is $40, and if you'll give me your name and address, I'll mail it back to you. Now, if that's been said once, it's been said 5,000 times. To get you to? Yeah, John and I look like we're just suckers with that kind of stuff, apparently. That's why he's got the beard now, which makes him look a little more tougher. No, but it's a common scam that you see all the people come out and I'll mail it back to you. Now, I had a choice of what I was going to do. Now, go ahead, ask me what you want to ask me. I know you want to ask me, did I give her the money? Yeah, I gave her what I had. It wasn't 40 bucks, but give me your name and address. And I go, no, you don't need my name and address. You're not going to send it to me. It's okay. I understand what you're doing. Here you go. Whatever you want to do with it. Now, someone might look at that and go, well, that was stupid. If you knew they're scamming you, then why are you giving them the money? Because I don't know what it is that God's doing in that person's life. The Bible tells us that we need to be careful because we may be entertaining angels unaware. You understand what that means? A circumstance where someone comes, you have no idea who they are. That may be who that is. It may be someone that God sent to test you, to see where your heart is. I've told you this many times. If I am ever going to err on the side of helping somebody, I'll always want to err going too far. Always. Because you can't take it back once you've said no. You can't change that once you've removed yourself from a situation. So the question comes back. Where's your heart? And listen, I don't get it right every time. I don't want to stand up here and go, yeah, be like I am. No, no, I've messed this up more than I want to admit to anybody. But I know it's a constant thing that God is saying, where is your heart? So there are opportunities all the time. And you have a choice of what it is that you're going to do. But you know, when someone chooses not to serve, because again, it is a choice, we have lots of great excuses. That's what you're good at, probably, many of you. Are you good at making excuses? Don't sit there looking all pious at the preacher. I know most of you very, very well. We're all good at making excuses. It's just what we do. And so a situation comes up and I go, you know, listen, I'm just too busy. I cannot fit one more thing into my life. I get that. Are you really busy? Yeah, you are. I'm not saying that's not true. Some people go, listen, I'm just too tired. By the end of the day, I've had it. I'm working 8 hours. I got kids. I got yard work. I'm just too tired. I can't add it. Are you tired? Yes, you're tired. Some people go, listen, it's just too inconvenient for me. Wait, I got to drive 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour someplace to do something? I just don't want to do it. How about what it gets really down to? I just don't feel like it. I don't feel like it. These are all excuses that we use at one time or another. See, you're not smiling quite as much now as you were earlier. I'm not trying to hurt anybody, but... And see, here's the thing. Each of those excuses are motivated by one thing, self. It's self. In other words, what you are saying is, what I am doing is more important. So how do you combat that? How do you change that? Excuses are what they are, but can I get to the place in my life where I'm not doing that, where I'm looking for not a reason not to do something, but how do I work it out that I can? I understand you can't be two places at the same time. I get that. I understand you've only got so much energy. I understand that as you get older, you don't have quite the same juice that you used to. I get all of that. But can I come to the place where, in spite of those things, I want to find a way to be able to give? I want to find a way to be able to invest in the people that God brings into my life. What I want to do this morning is I want to look at a man in the Old Testament. Turn to the book of Exodus, if you have your Bibles. That's the second book. I'm going to start in the third chapter. Now, this guy would not be someone you would think I would use as an example for this. This is the last guy you might think, because when you know who it is, you're thinking, wait a minute, this guy was a rock star in the Old Testament. I mean, he crushed it. How important this guy was. He's called the most humble man in all of the Bible. Now, you know, who am I talking about? Moses. Moses was outstanding at making excuses. Outstanding. Now, you may not think of him that way. Moses, as you know, was raised in the courts of Pharaoh. That's where he spent the first 40 years of his life. He killed a man who he watched beating on a Hebrew. And so because of that, he had to flee. He had to get out of Egypt. He went to Midian. He was there for the next 40 years. God sent him back to Egypt, and you know, he then takes the children of Israel out. They head to Canaan, 40 more years. 120 years Moses lived in groups of 40. You know, the number 40 is the number in the scripture for testing and for proving. Well, that's what he did. Oh, by the way, Katarina brought this to my attention too. This is the year 2020. What's that equal? 40. It's a year of testing. It's a year of proving. We're being tested, church. We're being tested. But Moses tried to talk God out of sending him back to Egypt. Now, again, you're probably thinking, wait a minute, same Moses? Is there more than one Moses in the Bible? I don't think so. That's the only one. But he tried to talk God out of it. And like us, Moses had great excuses. Great excuses for this. Are you at Exodus? Third chapter. Start in verse 10. Now I'm going to go to like three different chapters here to pull out. I don't mean don't read all the rest of it, but I don't want to take time to read three chapters this morning. So you go back and look where I've gone over. So Exodus 3, 10th verse. Here's where it starts. So now go. Okay, that's right in the middle of a thought, isn't it? It's kind of like right in the center. This is God talking to Moses. What has happened is that Moses is tending sheep. He looks up on Mount Horeb, which is the Mount of God, and he sees something burning. And it draws his attention, and he goes up to look, and you know what he finds. He finds the burning bush. It's a bush that's aflame, but it's not being consumed, meaning it's supernatural. It's the presence of God. And so they have this conversation back and forth. God tells him, take off your sandals. You're on holy ground. Moses is before him. God says, I've heard the cries of my people. Remember, it's been 400 years that they've been in slavery. And God says, now, you're the guy. You're the one that I'm going to send. Here's what it says. So now go. That's God saying, I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt. But Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? And God said, I will be with you, and this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain. Verse 13, Moses said to God, suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what's his name? Then what shall I tell them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. This is what you are to say to the Israelites, I am has sent me to you. God also said to Moses, say to the Israelites, the Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has sent me to you. This is my name forever, the name by which I am to be remembered from generation to generation. Now, go to the fourth chapter, first verse. Moses answered, what if they do not believe me or listen to me and say, the Lord did not appear to you? Then the Lord said to him, what's in your hand? A staff, he replied. The Lord said, throw it on the ground. Moses threw it on the ground, and it became a snake, and he ran from it. Then the Lord said to him, reach out your hand, take it by the tail. So Moses reached out, took hold of the snake, and it turned back into a staff in his hand. This, said the Lord, is so that they may believe that the Lord, the God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, has appeared to you. Now, go over to the sixth chapter. Verse 12, but Moses said to the Lord, if the Israelites will not listen to me, why would Pharaoh listen to me since I speak with faltering lips? He then says it again in verse 30. But Moses said to the Lord, since I speak with faltering lips, why would Pharaoh listen to me? We've just read a number of verses here where Moses presents God with five excuses, five reasons why. He said, God, wait. You want me to go do what? Have you thought about this? I love kind of the attitude of Moses in this. Like he's telling God something that he's not aware of or might be news to him. But I want to look at these five excuses, and I want you to listen. And where do you see yourself in these? I saw myself in almost all of them, but that's me. But I want you, God revealed in my heart. So here's the first thing. In verse 11, Moses says to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? Here's what Moses is saying to God. I'm not qualified. I can't do this. You see, our culture places great importance in training and education, even over skill and desire. And can I tell you that sadly, that's also true in churches as well. There are many, many churches that have men and women standing in pulpits that probably should not be there. Is it because that they're not smart? No, I don't think that's it. Is it because they haven't been trained or don't understand the Bible? No, I don't think. You know why? It's because I don't believe that every single person that stands in the pulpit is anointed to do that. Anointing is about God saying, this is what you're to do. And sadly, in our culture today, we put education and degrees and those kinds of things, even over anointing. When I was praying in the very beginning about starting this church, obviously one of the first things Katarina and I said, we're coming up on our 8-year anniversary here on the 23rd of this month, because I know because Grayson will be having his birthday. He was born a year before, a month. See, I shouldn't have even gotten off on all of that because I have no idea what I'm talking about, so I just stick to where I'm at here. But when we were praying about starting this church, obviously one of the things that was a concern was, how are we going to do music? Now, I had people that told me, well, listen, man, you can put like karaoke things up and you can sing. And I went, nah, I'm not doing that. I know there's some places that do that. That was not what I thought we wanted to do. Sitting in a church at Yoakumtown Church of God, and Dave and Faith walk up to me. And they said, listen, we know you're starting this church, and we want to come and help you do that. And, man, we want to come, and I want to sing. I want to worship God. And I thought, okay, there's two things that I'm looking for in a worship leader. Number one, he needs to be able to do things musically. He's got to be able to sing on key. That's always helpful. And probably play an instrument because we don't have any instrumentation at this point. Okay, he can do that. But do you know what the second thing was that I knew we needed? I needed somebody anointed to lead worship. You can be a tremendous musician and have no anointing and be up and people are going, okay, so what are we doing? This is nice music. It's good music, but there's no anointing. I needed both of those things, and God provided them. I mean, you saw anointing this morning just filling this room. And that's what God is looking for. That is the heart that God is after in each and every one of us. But we need to stay focused on the right thing. Moses is saying, God, I got nothing. Do you smell me? I've been with sheep for the last 40 years. How am I the guy that's going to go back to Pharaoh? And oh, by the way, you know why I left Egypt, right? You knew that there was a bounty on my head, right? But you know, God's reply to Moses was so simple and yet so powerful. Here's what he said to him. This is in the 12th verse. God said, I will be with you. We sang that this morning, just to be where God is, to be in his presence. God said to Moses, I'll be with you. There is nothing more important in your life than the presence of God. The presence of God. He said, Moses, you'll be anointed. I'll be there with you. I'll give you everything that you need. I'll give you signs to be able to convince the people of what it is that's taking place. And church, when God is with you, helping others, that's where your heart is changed because it's an outpouring of God's presence. When you carry the Spirit of God with you, when you are hungry for him and he's with you, when you're anointed for your life, the outpouring is what then is given to the people around you. Second excuse then. Moses went, okay, that didn't work out so well. Here's my second excuse. He says to him, God, what if they ask me your name? What if they ask who you are? In other words, Moses was saying, okay, it's not me, it's you. It's you. What's your name? What am I going to tell people? I mean, that took a lot of guts on Moses' part, I'm kind of thinking. I don't know if I would have been ready to say, okay, God, if it's not me, then it must be you, the reason I can't go. But Moses said, again, what's the value? What's the strength by which I'm going to be going? I mean, let's face it. If you walk into a room and you say, hey, I'm in charge. I'm the guy that's going to be running things here at this business meeting. People probably aren't, if they don't know who you are, they're not going to listen to you. Why would they? Jeff, if somebody walks into your office and goes, hey, I'm in charge. No, I don't think so. But if that person comes in and says, I'm coming on authority of the CEO of this organization, that changes who they are. And so God's answer to Moses was very simple, but it was all the authority that he was going to need. God said, here's what you tell them, Moses. Tell them, I am who I am. I am. That's all you need. That's all that's on God's card. I am, if I could say it like that. Now, you know what that means, I am who I am? That's actually from a Hebrew phrase from which we get the name Yahweh. And that word not only means God's presence, but it also means his activity. We serve an active God, active in our lives, active in the world. We pray and ask God to come, but you know, God is here. God is active in all of these things. And so God says to Moses, not only am I going to be with you, but I'm going to help you to be able to do the things that need to be done. Do you know, I don't think we need to work near as hard on planning things of our lives as we do. I mean, I'm not going to ask for hands, but I'm sure there are a number of you in here that, I mean, you need to have every single day down to the second planned for what you need to have happen. I'm not saying you shouldn't have an idea about what you're going to do, But you know what? When you're serving God and you say, Father, my life belongs to you, do you give God permission to mess up your schedule? Maybe. Maybe not. Does it irritate you when something comes up? See, that's part of what keeps us from serving. I've got my plans. I've got my schedule. And if I'd stop that and go help that guy or go participate in that, my schedule's messed up. Well, in that case, who's God? It's your schedule. Because that's what's most important. Thank you. That's it. That's like an emphasis on. That's like the fifth train. They must be banging up and down here. I can just talk louder, you know me. So again, God's presence, God's activity in our lives. What's your name? I am who I am. His third excuse then. He said, okay, wait, this is in the fourth chapter now, the first verse. You remember, he said, what if they don't believe me or said that you actually spoke to me? You know what Moses is doing there? He's bringing out his pride. He said, okay, it didn't work that I couldn't get you to realize I'm not qualified. You said you'd be with me. Now I know your name. But what if they laugh at me, God? What if they don't believe me? Let's face it. How many times when you talk with people, when you're dealing with situations or circumstances, one of the things in your mind is, how's this going to sound? Are they going to make fun of me? Are you going to think less of me? You know what I think the church is in desperate need of in this hour? Christians with no reputation. I don't care what my rep is. I don't care what you think of me. And I don't say that in a nasty way or an ugly way, but I cannot control with what other people think of me. There are people that do not like my preaching. I know, it's hard to believe. I'm kidding with you. You know, people don't like certain styles. That's fine. That's okay. You know, I mean, people may not like, I don't know what it is, but, you know, that's just the way things are. But can I tell you in all love, I don't care. I don't care. I can't change it. Who do I care what they think? I care most of all what God thinks of me. That's what I care about most. I care what she thinks of me. I care what they think of me. My family is important. But, you know, Moses is going, wait a minute, God, if I go, what if they laugh? What if they point? What if they just throw me out? And of course, you know what God did. God said, okay, I've got more things that you can do. See the stick? Throw it down. There's a snake. Pick it up. Now it's a stick again. Oh, and we didn't read this, but then he said, now take your hand, put it inside your cloak, pull it out. Leprosy. He said, now put it back in, take it back out. It's been healed again. Can I tell you that for God, those are nothing more than just like sleight of hand? When you think of the great power of God, now, those are miracles, but God was just giving Moses something to be able to say, okay, here, I can provide this for you. But, you know, God doesn't need to do that. That's why I think it's dangerous when you seek out a church just because there's all kinds of things going on. Ooh, ah, ooh. Yeah, God's presence, God's power is important, but those things are not what's most important. It's Him. It's Him. See, I don't want to be chasing after the things of God. I want to be chasing after Him. I don't want to marvel at the beauty of the creation. I want to marvel at the Creator. And see, that's where our hearts and our minds need to be changed and adjusted just to say, God, wherever you are, that's where I want to be. Moses says, come on, God, they won't even listen to me. What if they don't know? What God was saying is, Moses, my power is greater than anything else, and it's available for you. Here's the fourth thing. I'll start wrapping this up. Moses, in the fourth chapter, the 10th verse, he says, now wait, God, you may not know this. You may not know this. I am not eloquent. I'm slow of speech. And by the way, you've never asked me to do anything like this before. Now, I think Moses is kind of scraping the bottom of the barrel, to be honest with you, on these excuses. What do you mean you've never asked me to do that? Of course he was never asked to do that before. Again, Moses is saying, God, you didn't adequately prepare me for this. And how many times when you've been faced or been presented with an opportunity, you've not done it because you thought, I can't. I don't know what to do. I wouldn't know how to handle that. I've never done that before. You see, and to come to a place of having an opportunity is just simply to say, God, I may not know in my mind what it is I need to do, but here I am, send me. Here I am, use me. I can't tell you the number of times that I have been involved in things that I kind of looked like I knew what I was doing. I had no idea what I was doing. I hope you don't think that up here, like when I'm talking to you. But you know, they're just opportunities present themselves. And again, I would encourage each of you to say, God, I want to be used of you to the place where if I don't know exactly what I'm doing, that's okay. If I make a mistake, that's okay. If I don't look all together and look a little bit foolish, that's okay. Because I'm serving you. And you're going to give me everything I need. Here's the last thing. This is in the sixth chapter, and he says it twice. Moses was so bent on this last one that he said it twice. He said, God, wait a minute. I stutter. You don't understand. I stutter. Well, at this point, if you read then the next verse, it says what? Do you know what it says? It says God's anger burned against Moses. Basically, God went, okay, I'm right here with this. I have given you every single thing you could possibly need, and Moses is still trying to backpedal, still trying to get away from this. So Moses tries a new tactic. He figures, I'll blame God. Your fault. Blame shift. You didn't prepare me for this. You created me with a stutter. If you knew I was going to be doing this, why didn't you give me better eloquence? Why didn't you help me to speak more goodly? You know what God's reply was? Who do you think you're talking to? I created you. God created you, church. He knows what you're capable of. God would not put you in a position just to fail. Now, those things may happen in order for you to learn a lesson. Those things may happen in order to teach your faith to grow and to hold to Him. But God, the Bible tells us, God has plans for your life to prosper you, not to bring you defeat. What He's looking for, though, is a heart that says, God, I'm willing to jump. I'm willing to go. I have never skydived. Has anybody in here skydived? Oh, come on, not just one. Oh, I was hoping maybe one person could tell. I want to skydive. I got about as much of that chance as happening as being able to float out of this room. Yeah, she's already going, no, you're not skydiving. I want to do it just once because I want that experience of stepping out of a perfectly good airplane into nothing. I want to see what that feels like because every person that I've ever read that's ever been interviewed about that, they say once you conquer that one step fear, the rest of it sounds like nothing you've ever had. And by the way, after that, you don't have that problem anymore. You're running to the door. You know, God is there for us in every single one of these situations, no matter what the circumstances are. I stutter. It doesn't matter. I'm not comfortable around people. It doesn't matter. Are you willing to give of yourself? Because here's why all of that was important for Moses. God had a plan. He had a plan. It started in the Garden of Eden. Right after the fruit was eaten, it started there. God was preparing a way for us to come back into fellowship with Him. It came to a time when there was a nation of God's people that was ready to be born. The Israelites really did not become the Israelites until they were in Canaan. That time had come. They were a people, because of that plan of God, that were going to be able to witness the coming of the Messiah. It was going to be through that bloodline that Jesus would be born. And God needed Moses to lead approximately 2.4 million people to a new land. See, Moses' five excuses were not going to keep that from happening. And can I tell you this morning, there is no excuse that you can make that's going to keep God's will from happening in your life. The question is, are you going to be able to embrace all that it is that He's doing? All that He wants to do in you? You can fight it. God's will is still going to take place. Or you can say, God, no excuses. What do you need? What do you want? Where can I go? What can I do? I may not be good at it. I may struggle a little bit. Yeah, it may be inconvenient. I might have to push some things aside. Maybe I need to reprioritize my life. But I got to come to the place, God, of saying, my life belongs to you. That's what it means to have the heart of a servant. I don't make excuses anymore. You see, our excuses may sound different from one another, but they're all saying the same thing. What I want, what I'm doing, my life is more important than anything else. Is that too harsh or is it too true? I know in my own life I've had to re-examine my priorities to say, God, I've got to become more available to you. My things, the things I want to do, cannot be of the highest priority. And I'll tell you, when we do that, I believe that we are renewing a commitment to live for him. Renewing that commitment. What is it going to take in your life for that to happen? What is it that you're going to need to look at anew? Check some things. I've done this my whole life. I've been doing this for years. Well, you know, length of time doesn't mean that it's still important or that it's a priority. Maybe you need to look at those things. But I can tell you this, God, like he was with Moses, he'll be with you every step of the way. Let's pray together. Well, Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your word. And I thank you, God, for the example that we see of this great servant of yours, Moses. We need to remember, he did it right. The excuses came, they went, and he obeyed you because his heart was given to you. I pray, God, that for every person in this room this morning, that you would speak to us. Help us, God, to prioritize our lives in a way that says, you're first. What you desire is foremost in my life. I pray your blessing and your protection over each and every one. Go with them, keep them safe, protect them, give them favor in everything that they do. And we come back together again next week, Father, I pray that we would just look forward to once again worshiping you with all that we are. To your glory and honor, in Jesus' precious name, I pray. Amen. Amen. Well, God bless you folks. Thank you so much for being here. Make sure you hug some necks on the way out. And we will look forward to seeing you here again next Sunday. God bless you. We love you.